First down. 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 Four quarters, we are back. What's up, guys? My name is Eric Bradley, aka DC. I'm here with Sam Ball, Sad Greer, and Sanjay Rajput. What's up, fellas?
What's good? What's good? What's shaking, fellas? What's shaking?
I'm gonna just go ahead and let y'all know the sound that was before we started the show was the It's America. This is America. This is our series that we're doing right now. We're talking about all things democracy, all things the political landscape. How y'all doing, man? How y'all feeling? It's been life has changed for the better, I guess, since the last time we talked about politics.
Has it changed for the better?
It's changed.
It's changed. Let's say it like that.
Okay, the political landscape has changed. I agree with that one.
There's been a change of pace, as Sam would say.
Oh, dude, it's been a hell of a change of pace. A hell of a change of pace.
All right, so we had the... Did we talk before or after the DNC? I mean, the RNC.
I don't think we talked about the RNC.
We haven't.
Okay, so we had the RNC, which was a fucking circus.
Oh no! Hey, Grindr had an up boost, dude. They broke their servers in that area.
Isn't that crazy? The people who are so anti-gay and so don't bring that in front of my isn't that's so crazy to me. But
that whole thing
was a circus to me. I mean, watching I don't know if y'all saw Marjorie Taylor Greene give her a speech. It was like after she said everything, she would do. I need to y'all to see. Look at me real quick. I'm about to pull out my camera. She would do this after she would say, "And America's gonna be great again." It was like what was this? It was she would make this little noise and she would do this little face, and I was like, "What's going on?"
Dude, yeah,
what is going on? I will show y'all.
It's like the movie Idiocracy.
It really did feel like that, Sanjay. It really felt like that. And the main thing that made it feel like that, keynote speaker, Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
All right.
No.
I'm like, what is going on in America? Not to mention everybody was wearing the ear patches. And it's like, and I'm over here like, what? I'm like, show me the ear, Donald.
Bro, I don't want to see it. Like you know what I'm saying? Was gay or not, dude? That's what the ear patches were for.
It was really crazy. I did watch a little bit of it because it gave me some insight to like, you know, we still haven't had this conversation, but we already in private had a conversation about the Project 2025 thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gave me an insight about you know what do they got in. What they got planned for us? You know what I'm saying? That same week happens. By that week, President Biden has COVID, which we all think. We had our conspiracy theories about Trump's assassination. Do y'all think Biden really had COVID?
Hell no. Nah. He had dementia. That's what the hell are on him.
What? I mean, he seemed like he had a cold or something.
I don't think he had a cold, man. I honestly think they needed an excuse. I think Biden.
A lot of people feel like Shad feel, especially a lot of Republicans feel that.
I'm not saying as a Republican, like watching him do his debate, he seems like he was losing his train of thought and stuff. So, like to me, he might have some like onsets of dementia or something like. Ailment like
that. I ain't gonna say that. I'm not gonna. No, yeah. we're not.
I'm
not
you're gonna, just I'm speculating like, that.
I'm not gonna say that. What I will say is that he's already older. he's already doing one of the hardest jobs in the world. And I mean, I think we said this last time, or we might not have said it. Seeing him from when he ran in 2019 versus when he ran in 2020 versus now, like seeing him, it looks, you know, yeah, he's not the same person, you know what I'm saying? But he also, you know, I'm not going to take from what he did. I just wanted to know how y'all felt about the COVID. Did y'all think he really had it, or was that just a good excuse for them to be like, all right, he has COVID. In the background, a lot of us Democrats are fucking, you know, divided on, do we want somebody new being the face of our, you know, running for us, or do we want, you know, Biden? And this COVID, a lot of people think that the COVID was a good excuse to be like, all right, let's have him bow out.
I think COVID happened, and that's like when he kind of made his final decision. But I mean, there was a push long before that.
I think it was a push, but it might also have been like a gauge-ment, like a strategy, like, all right, well, let's look and see how this plays out. Like, we need to get back and talk and like see, is this something, like, does he want to continue? Does he feel like we need to continue? And like kind of strategize from there. Like, and it might already be known that he's gonna drop out, but that might have been used as a way they can strategize to make sure Kamala's campaign is gonna go well too, as well.
Yeah. And how you feel, Sam?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I agree with you, Shad. I think there's been some speculation and some conversation, right? I think after the first debate, right, there was a report that came out that Joe Biden was potentially considering dropping out. And then even before then, right, the whole thing last year was whether or not Joe should continue to run for a second term or not, or should the Democratic Party look for his replacement. And then I think, like, with the first debate happening, I think that was a good opportunity, like Shad said, for the Democratic Party to kind of gauge where Joe was and also gauge where see where Donald Trump kind of was going with his, like, with the debate and see how things were going. And I think, you know, it was a good gamesmanship, I would like to say, because, you know, for them to pull out and to have Kamala come in now, I'm like, okay, that was actually a good strategy, in my opinion. Like, after that first debate, okay, sit down. Yeah.
Took all the momentum from RNC.
I don't agree.
Shad, think about Shad. Donald does not want to debate Kamala. He does, and not saying that he doesn't. I think that she's openly said that she's wanting to do it, and I believe his camp is saying that he no longer, like, his agreement was with Joe Biden. And so I think the issue is that if Trump kind of sits down and has a thing or does a debate with Kamala, it can't be all that old man bickering back and forth. It's going to be about the issues. And I think that's where it's going to help swing voters kind of figure out where they really want to align themselves.
Okay, see, now I agree with you. What I don't agree with you is on the timing. Here's the way I see it. I think if you are going to run, I think you wasted your voters' vote in trying to vote Joe back in, just voting him back in. She should have already been there and already been a candidate for it. He shouldn't have ran again. Okay. When we did the primary. Like, I think it should have been open, maybe gave you a few more choices. So I think you didn't give voters much of a choice. So I don't necessarily like that. I get the strategy, but I don't like it. Two, like, that would have been a better strategy for him to drop out at the beginning of the primaries, not seek reelection, then let Kamala take over. Then, like, we could have really seen, like, or at least see what else there was out there for the Democratic Party to put there, right? Okay. That's how I feel about it. Now we're here, and she is probably going to be nominated. The nominee for the Democratic Party, which I have no problem in.
But yes,
I feel like they took away the American people's opportunity to vote who they wanted to put in there, right? So like, I'm not really into that. But
go ahead. Go ahead, Sam. I'm gonna let you say, and then I got something to go. But I'm trying to keep.
No, I got you, DC. DC, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say is, I see what you're saying, Chad. But that's also the argument of a lot of Republicans. And that's also the argument of people. But let's be honest.
She was voted on the ticket. Nope. She was on the ticket when they voted for
her. Yeah, she was on the ticket. She was on the ticket.
She was already there.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. You know what I'm saying? In a sense of, you know, hey, all that money, just like they're saying, like, Trump is suing because there's money, you know, that just automatically gets flown straight into Kamala that was raised for him, for Biden.
It's a Democrat war chest, yeah. I got
all that. At the end of the day, you know, Biden, it was actually the perfect play. Now that I think about it, at first, I was thinking like, you know, this might not be good. It's too late. It's so late. Mm-hmm. It should have happened a little bit earlier. But now it's like, all right, you had the whole shooting thing. And that was taking steam from Biden.
Yep.
You know, let's be honest.
Yep. Yep.
And it had people like, oh, you know, Trump. Now what's happened? In the 1 week, it's only been 2 weeks since the shooting. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's talking about that anymore.
No one's really talking about it anymore. This sounds kind of crazy. Kamala's the new thing on the block. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about her.
Mm-hmm. What are they saying?
Like the Nikki Haley said.
Hold on 1 second, Sanjay. I'll tell you what they're saying. They just had a fucking rally yesterday in the villages of Florida, which is really Trump country.
Oh, he's all right.
Kamala.
Yeah.
So they're scared over on that side. And what they're scared of, someone younger, someone more brighter, someone who's actually qualified, they're scared over there.
And wasn't there also, too, right, this past week, right, there was like 50,000 black women that held a Zoom call. And then following that, there was like 100,000 white women getting on a Zoom call to support Kamala. Yeah. So I think there's been this big awakening.
I think it was her sorority that did that. It was the AKAs, dude, if I'm not mistaken. The AKAs end up breaking. Not broke, but they took
like,
down
pretty the much cyber. Everyone did it. It was like,
$1.5 million for her. In one day, she raised over $80 million.
Yeah.
Dude, she's raised $200 million. She has raised $200 million so far. Like, this whole thing was a game, you know, like great craftsman. What do you call it? Gamesmanship? Was a great strategy. Because if you think about it, like, if she would have, like, started primary early on, they could have defined her, you know, done all the negative attacks, have the campaign.
Exactly.
Strategy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And to protect democracy, Shad, I know that you wanted to choose, but there was no time for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it. That's why I said I'm not mad at the play. I'm just saying how democracy works. It feels like they took a choice away from the people. But at this point, dude, here's what I'm saying. At this point, I don't care. I think it was a great strategy. It's not something I particularly like, but honestly, it's been a great strategy. It's been a great thing for the Democratic Party because it's been like this reinvigorating of spirit into
him,
right?
There.
It's not been no doom and gloom. Like you said, within 2 weeks, she's already met Donald Trump in some of these swing states. They're neck and neck. And she's ahead in some in the polling. So,
bro, can you imagine if she gets Florida to go blue? What the fuck? What? You know what I'm saying?
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy, man. And Shad, I'm with you, bro. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, it wasn't ideal.
But for
the first time, I knew a few weeks ago, I was saying, man, I feel like we're doomed. I feel like we're screwed. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel that anymore.
It's the first
time. And I might not like Kamala. You know, I might not. I'm not the biggest Kamala fan.
Mm-hmm.
But lesser evils, I'm going with her all day.
True, all day. But here, also, the thing is, too, like, with it. Oh, damn, what was my point? I was trying to get to another point about this. Like, this is probably the one time, like, I'm agreeing with, like, we shouldn't be voting for who we put in on this one particular case, because it don't seem like we have too much of a good track record of doing that. So, like, to do it this way, spot on for the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Sam, you got anything to input, Sam?
Yeah, you know what, guys? I just been thinking about the impact of this. Y'all think about this. When Barack Obama left the office in 2016, I think a lot of people were thinking, man, we've never seen another person of color in the White House again. And here we are, fast forward 8 years, and not only do we have another person of color, but it's actually a female running on the primary for president. And it's just, man, it's just, you know, I'm just thinking about just the impact of that, the significance of that. And you know, I was also thinking too, like, there was this conversation I was having with a group of guys where we were talking about white women and how we feel like white women have historically always chosen whiteness over like womanhood. If that's a thing.
Oh, and, it is a thing, bro. They vote every year. And 56% of white women voted for Trump, dude, when he got in office. So, like, you are absolutely fucking right. They do it every year. They vote against their own fucking interests.
And it's funny because to that point, Chad, they have less, like, rights today than they did when he was in the office. Facts. So, you know, they've lost rights since he's been in the office. So it's kind of interesting that, I guess, for them, right, they're at this crossroad where they, as a group, have to come to an impasse where they ought to make a decision on whether or not do they want to continue on the path, right, to where they may continue to lose more of their own individual rights as women versus maybe voting in favor of someone who knows more about their struggle and about what it is that women go through. Let me backtrack that. Of somebody who knows more about who will more make more policies in their favor. Let me put it like that.
Right. Agreed.
And you know what? I mean, trends have shown, like, in like these other elections that has happened, like all the abortion laws, you know, like in Ohio and Kansas, and like over majority where it's Republican, you know, the ballot has won for abortion, and because, like, you know, the woman showed up. So I think in a lot of areas the voters will switch in some areas.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the women vote is going to be a huge impact. They're a huge minority voter. I mean, they're actually,
and, women overall are minority. The biggest voters. They're more than men, you know? Like, I think they're 15 something.
Oh, for sure. But I think this vote is going to swing them. And, like, the Republican Party didn't do a good job of picking a VP candidate that's going to help Trump anyway.
Boy.
So.
Which is crazy because they made all these decisions prior to Biden dropping. Because
they were running as Biden, so they were like, why do I need to expand my base? You know, I'm running against Biden.
Now, since we're on the topic of VP, do y'all know who the VP candidates are for the Democrats? And who do y'all think, you know, who would y'all like to see?
Kentucky's the governor.
For me, it's between three. And he's one of them. What about you, Sam? Sanjay?
Sam, go. Okay, so for me, I think the ones that I have in mind is Mark Kelly, the Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro, or I like the Kentucky governors too. So I think out of that, or maybe the Michigan governor. But I think having you need a man.
Having two females on a ticket ain't gonna work. I think
you need a man.
I hate to say that, but I don't think it'll work in favor.
No, I'm with you, bro. I genuinely think, and I actually totally agree with you. Kentucky's governor probably is the best candidate. Young, sure. White male, family values, everything and that
evangelical, like
everything that they that someone who might be on the fence. And they're like, you know, Kamala. All right, well, I like him. You know what
he's
I'm saying?
He's approachable. He's funny. He's charismatic. Yeah. Honestly, if she wasn't running for president, he might get the next nomination. To be honest with you, by his card, right?
It had a whole dialogue already for J.D. Vance.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And I loved it.
Ass a couple weeks ago.
I loved it. So
and Mark Kelly would be my favorite because he's like
a, I do like Mark Kelly also,
like a pilot fighter. His wife got assassinated.
He's a
NASA pilot. He loves like science, technology, just, like environment. That's, like,
is that Arizona? He's an Arizona senator, right?
Yeah, Arizona. So he's more, a little bit of slightly conservative, but like more of a moderate Democrat.
You know? I wouldn't pick him though. I think he needs to stay in the state because, like, I think Arizona is too critical, like, too critical of our ground to leave like that, like, to leave his spot open. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, too. I see what you're saying.
Like, where I think Kentucky's in more of a stable environment where they can pull their governor.
Yeah. I'm worried about that also, losing the government, you know, a blue governor in a red state, but also, like, if they lose a blue governor in a red state, that's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not as much of a downfall.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Arizona, I don't know if he steps up. I think the governor's already called Democratic, and they can appoint. I got to verify. But if the governor can appoint a senator,
But it still would be a 2026 runoff vote on that. So the main question of the show is, and we'll start with Sam on this. Y'all think Kamala can beat Trump?
I think she definitely has a chance. I think there's a lot of momentum around her campaign now. There's a lot of buzz, like we just said, that currently wasn't around Joe several weeks ago. And I think depending on who she picks for vice president, which is so, I'm so glad we asked that because I was like, man, that's going to be so important for her campaign. Is whoever she decides to pick as her running mate or who's going to be her vice president if she wins. And I think she has a chance, man. I think she has a legitimate chance here. I was a little worried that, you know, sometimes you just don't know how things are just going to go over with other people. But it seems like mostly she's been well received. For the most part, and I think that gives her a good stance. I think the worst thing that could have happened was if the Democrats had nominated her, and there was a lot of blowback on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's got a chance.
And the crazy thing is, like, I totally get that she hasn't fully been nominated yet, but I do get that you can see hope for the first time in a long time from the Democrats. You know what I'm saying?
The energy is good. And that's what matters, because that kind of leads to voter turnout, which is the key. Let me just make this point. Like, Donald Trump wins with the, 47%, 48%, and expecting the other side not to show up or, you know, not have a bigger voter turnout.
Yeah.
But also, like, this is someone I feel like where Donald Trump, like, just from watching some of his rallies since then, he looks like he's panicking a little bit. He looks like he's, you know, they're saying that he kind of regrets picking his VP candidate now. It does seem like I said, hope on one side versus fear on the other side. It seems like we already know how Donald Trump runs. He runs with, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. You know, fear-mongering, a lot of fear-mongering versus
Better Tomorrow.
I watched Kamala's speech the other day, and she goes, we're not going back. And the whole crowd is like, not going back. And it's like the people were in the comments like, yeah, she ate with that. Because, you know, we're over there like, they want to make America great again. And she's saying, nah, we're not going back. We're moving forward. And I think, like I said, I haven't, like, I know that personally, as a black male, ex-con, ex-felon, all that stuff in America, like, I've had, like, heard stories about Kamala. I want to learn more. You know what I'm saying? Now I don't want to just listen to what I've been, the hearsay. I want to learn more about her. I want to see, right, I mean, I can't vote, but you know what I'm going to do lately? And this is one thing I hate doing. I hate getting on Facebook and be arguing with motherfuckers over somebody. I'm Twitter fingering right now. You know what I'm saying? For Kamala. That's the best I can do. You know what I'm saying? If I can, even though I don't have the voting right now, I can at least hope to change someone's mind. You know what I'm saying? And so,
you know what? That might get changed in the future too. You not being able to not vote.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. Shad, you got a last opinion on it?
No, I think Sam said everything I was going to say. Man, I think I agree with y'all as far as the energy. I think this is going to be a good one for the young vote for her. I don't know. No. I see hope, but also, man, honestly, like it's good to see a change. I think everybody's just because we had two candidates that we did not want. This is what we're grasping at for a change, for a hope, and we're just like, okay.
And the crazy thing is, you're right. We totally were saying, damn, we got two old white men.
Yeah.
This is not like, the representation that we want for our country.
This ain't it, right? And now we have this representation where everybody's like, okay. Like, and we got...
I do think America's ready for a female president. I mean, I look at some of the countries like Germany. Germany's they already had it. You know, they've had
a lot of countries had it.
Yeah, so I think we're ready. You know what I'm saying? I think it's time.
We were ready when Hillary Clinton ran, but we didn't want Hillary though. That was the thing.
That's what it was.
She was not what we needed. This right here, this is what we need. I just hope that when she gets in there, she's able to. And here's the thing. And I have to keep making this statement. The presidency is not a leader, a ruler. They are a placeholder. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is make sure we vote and get these senators and representatives, state level and at the national level voted in. Those are the people that's going to affect us. Those are the people that's going to make the decisions that affect
us. You're right. I agree.
But this is a good start to get a figurehead.
But some of the policy also still comes from the president. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they suggest policy. Yeah, that is true.
I'm hearing from, you know, we heard Trump run on the basis of let me try to get the blue vote. We're never gonna prosecute any police officers. We're never gonna, you know, no matter what y'all do, we're never gonna. You know, and that is something that scares a lot of Americans. You know what I'm saying?
White and black.
Yeah, definitely white and black. A lot of Americans are scared by that because not only that, now we got the whole Sonya Massey thing going on right now. So when I hear that, I automatically think, so you're telling me we watch a video where a cop goes in somebody's house and now y'all not going to prosecute him? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the
it's like having immunity,
you know? Yeah. You wanted to have immunity for police officers. And I think, you know, I respect police officers. They have one of the hardest jobs in the world. But immunity is not something they need.
You know what I'm saying? They need to be held to public standard.
We all need to be held equally accountable for everything, you know?
Even the president.
Even the president.
And even the president.
All right, I got a few more minutes. Let's go to like last, you know, because this was a short one. We're just talking about, you know, Kamala, Trump. How do y'all feel? Sam, go ahead.
How do I feel about the?
Yeah, this is our final words. Let's hear it.
Final words.
Yeah, you get 5 minutes.
Man, I don't even know if I need that much time, but for me, perfect. I'd say, you know what, man, there's, like Shad's been saying, there's just a sense of optimism. There's been like this resurgence in the Democratic Party, right? This kind of reinvigoration of kind of like some excitement behind this party and where they could potentially be going. I think this is going to be a real interesting election coming up. I think the tensions are going to be high, right? Man, everybody in DC, I know you can't vote, but everybody else on this call, you know, we got to do our parts as American citizens. Shad, especially since, you know, you and our ancestors gone through what they've had to go through to get voting rights. So we make sure we show our butts up at the poll. That's it.
That?
I actually have a question for Sanjay, man. Like, I know you're part of the Indian community. I think Kamala's like half Indian or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How has your community responded to this? Like, are they excited about this? Because this is not only an opportunity for the first African American, but like first like African Indian American person to win something. You know what I mean? Like, is there excitement from your community at all, or they're just like everybody's like?
Eh. I think there is definitely.
Yeah, Sanjay, what's the buzz around your family?
I mean, a lot of them don't care about politics. They vote more on business, but or they're more conservative too, so they lean more conservative. But I think a lot of the younger generations is more excited, especially for being women. Like a lot of my cousins stuff having that. So for a lot of the girls, they're super excited for that, and her being an Indian as well. Or half Indian.
Do you have any final words, Sanjay?
Yeah, I was gonna say like the gamesmanship by the Democrats, you know, playing that Uno reverse card on the Republicans, you know, just flipping the age question, a lot of the stuff, I think was masterful, and it created a lot of energy and kind of changed the momentum, which kind of goes on to Shad's point that the reason, you know, they want Biden out because he was dragging a lot of the candidates, Senate, congressional, local level down. And I think this switch in the party ticket, you know, created a boost now. So I think it's going to lead to, I think if it goes as planned, I think Democrats will win more Senate, even though it's like a tough year, and House of Representatives. So if they're able to capture all three, they can implement a lot of the policies, you know, that they've been saying they want to do.
Well, hold on. I just hope they implement them and not get somewhere and like get stalled out trying to please both parties.
I think that time is over. I think after like
I'm so tired of them trying to please every fucking body. I just hope that we can sweep and get the House and get the Senate, get our judges in place, get the policies that we need in place that will secure a lot of our rights to vote, our the women's rights, whatever they want to do. The LGBTQ stuff. Like all this, just trying to quantify a lot of these rights that we have now, so the courts can't necessarily take them away.
And I was gonna say one thing: even though Biden, you know, he's still gonna play out his last 6 months and stuff. And I think one thing he's gonna try to focus is on Supreme Court reform, like doing term limits for the justices and kind of a code of ethics. So I think that's gonna be pretty important going forward. I would hope so.
I think we should put age limits on senators, representatives, the president. Like his last standing
judges
would be that the judges, like after a certain age, you can't do it. Maybe term limits on them as well. Because this is one of those things. It starts to get ridiculous as you get older, and you see these old people, not just white folks, but like black folks too, that's been in the Senate and been in the House of Representatives and hadn't did shit in years. They're sitting up there collecting a fucking check.
I think you said it a good way, like a placeholder, you know, the power is like temporary, you know, you're there, you do the work, and then, you know, you leave after a certain time. It's not there for you to be there forever. Although, like, that's one thing, like, you do need some, like, wisdom and age, so you don't need, like, turn around every 5 or 10 years. You know, you need some senior leadership, how things run.
No, like, so, I think like, 65 is probably like when you get ready to retire, that's like the age it should be for that. Like 60 or 70. 65.
They should tie this up to Social Security, whatever Social Security retirement is. You know,
65. Like, it's okay. That means you had a long run in the House, you're good. You should go home.
Enjoy time with your family. Kiss the grandkids. Right.
Be good. Yeah, but you got to get the fuck up out of there.
Exactly. Well, guys, this has been a very ingenious conversation we've had, man. I think we all can agree. From the last conversation we have moved, which, like I said, 2 weeks ago, we've moved totally different direction. You know what I'm saying? So like Sam said, please get out. Please vote. Job's not done.
It just started. The campaign really just started, yeah. Like, after the Democratic convention, yeah. That's when it really started.
When is the DNC?
Somewhere in August. I don't know, but... In a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember they, when last week was her last day to, like, officially enter the race as a candidate, so...
Yeah. But good job, guys. Great talk. Thank y'all for listening. I'm Eric Bradley. We got Sam Ball, Chad Greer, and Sanjay Rajput. This has been Four Quarters. Please, if you got any questions, any comments, let us know. Check in that email always at Four Quarters, F-O-R-U. No, what the fuck? F-O-U-R. QRTV at gmail.com. All right. Please send us a message. Let us know. We'll get to it in the next episode, man. Thank y'all for listening. Y'all have a blessed one. Take care. First down.